Satan has two objectives. I want to just introduce my sermon with this. You've heard me say this before. But Satan has two objectives. His first objective is to keep people lost. Just as God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Satan doesn't want anybody to come to repentance. He would like everybody to perish. He would like everybody to go to hell. And so as the gospel is presented to people, Satan is always in the background saying, hey, don't listen to that. It doesn't apply to you. You're not really that bad. You're not that bad of a sinner that God would send you to hell and punish you forever. And if the gospel starts to get through, Satan will change his tactics a little bit and say, well, you don't need to do it right now. You have too much life to enjoy. He tells a lie that you can't have fun after you get saved. He says, you got too much life to enjoy. Just wait a little bit longer and before you accept Christ. Wait a little bit longer before you make that decision. And he'll do everything in his power to keep people from receiving Christ as their Savior. He will try to get them to ignore the gospel. He will try to get them to ignore verses like John 3:16. He will try to get them to ignore the Roman road where the Bible says that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you've never called upon the name of the Lord, do it right now. Satan will say, well, at least wait till the invitation. At least wait till the end of the service. Look, if you're here tonight and say, raise your hand and say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I'll have somebody take you somewhere and show you those verses I just quoted and help you pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Don't wait a minute. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, do it now. You pray and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe you're the only one that will work. I ask you now to save me from the penalty of my sin. And he'll do it in an instant. Now, Satan doesn't want that. He wants everybody to be lost. He wants everybody to go to hell. That's the first thing he wants. Second thing he wants is that if people do get saved, he wants to mess them up. He wants to mess up their testimony. He wants to mess up their life. He wants to mess up their home. He wants to mess us up. It's like Becky testified, her friend, Satan is pushing all my buttons. That's what he does to us as Christians. He'll look for the button of the week that'll get us discouraged. He'll look for the button of the week that'll get us down. He'll look for the button of the week that'll get us off the straight and narrow way. He'll look for the button of the week that will just mess us up. And that's his second desire. If he can't keep us from going to heaven. Once we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, and there is nothing old Snooty Face can do about it. He's lost that battle forever. But he sure doesn't want you influencing anybody else to go to heaven. He sure doesn't want you sharing the gospel with anybody else. He sure doesn't want the testimony of your life be a light to anybody else so that they too will go to heaven. So he'll do his best to mess with us and mess up our testimony. So tonight, I have a real simple message. Stay on track. I've entitled my message, Stay on Track. I want to tell you, when Satan comes to mess with you, when he starts pushing your buttons, I want to tell you how to stay on track. It tells us there in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. What the Apostle Paul is talking about in that part of the verse, as you have prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior. As you have received him, like John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so you've received him. You've received him. And so he says, so walk ye in him. Walk ye in him. What Paul is saying is, stay on the track. Stay on the straight and narrow way. Stay on that path that God wants you to walk. Don't let Satan mess with you. All right, so tonight I'm giving you double your money's worth. I only usually have 3 points. Tonight I got 6, okay? And so I'll be quick if you listen quick. You want to stay on track? Number 1, get on track. It's hard to stay on a track if you don't get on it in the first place. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved. You won't be able to get on this track until you do get saved. But once you get saved, you need to find out what God wants you to do. He has a will for every one of our lives. He saved us for a purpose, for a reason. Say, well, he saved me because he loved me. Yes, he loves you. He loves you greater than anybody else, any other being has ever loved you. But the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Every single person here tonight, I don't care how old you are, I don't care what kind of health you enjoy or don't enjoy, I don't care how long you have been a Christian or how short a time you have been a Christian, I don't care how long you have served the Lord, every person here, listen to me, every person here, God has something that he wants you to do for him. You are his workmanship, created unto good works. If you are still, I remember my dad always saying to me, he told my brothers and I, not every time we sat down at the table, but I bet he said it once a week. He said it once a week. He says, as long as you have your feet under my table, you are first of all going to church, and number two, you're going to respect your mother. If those two things don't happen, you can find somewhere else to eat. That was his point. My brother tested him. Now, I didn't. I like to eat too much. I didn't test him. But my brother tested him. And he didn't eat for a while because he decided he didn't want to go to church anymore. He never disrespected our mom, but he decided he didn't want to go to church anymore. Dad said, you're going to have to find someplace to eat. You're not going to eat at this table. Now, eventually he came back because he liked to eat the home cooking too. But if you are, and so I tell that to just lead into this next thing I want to say. If you are still breathing God's air on this earth, anybody here tonight not doing that? You're not breathing God's air tonight, Brother Ferris. You're breathing God's air. If you are breathing God's air on this earth tonight, he has a job for you to do. I know some of you here tonight may say, well, I'm too old. I've served my time. There's nothing else that I can do for God. Look. If that was true, he'd take you to heaven. If there was nothing else you could do for God, he wouldn't leave you in this mess. He'd get you out of here. He would take you to heaven and give you eternal reward. The fact that you're still here means you're not too old to do something for God. Some of you might say, well, my health is poor. I just can't do anything for God. No, no, no. Listen, that's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to think, well, I feel too bad. I don't have the strength that I used to. I don't have the strength that I used to either. I can't. But listen, God still has something for you and I to do. It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord's service. Doesn't matter how good you feel or how bad you feel. You can still do something for God. Find out what it is and get with it. Get on track. The problem is, most of the time when God calls, we don't answer the phone. When he calls, we say, well, maybe God wants me to do something. I'm not going to answer the phone. There was a time when my brother got caller ID, and he didn't put me on the approved list. Only the approved list got through. I said, I called my other brother, who was on the approved list. I said, why are you on the approved list and I'm not? He said, I don't know. I said, well, you call our brother and find out why I'm not on the approved list. And he called, and he called me back and said, well, he made a mistake. I said, yes, he made a mistake. He should have put me on the approved list. I said, what do I got to do to get on the approved list? He said, he's going to send you a form. I said, no, he's not. I'm not filling out a form to call my brother. If he wants to talk to me, he can call me. That's what we do to God sometimes. We have caller ID, and we say, well, God's calling. I know it's God. And we don't answer the phone. I want to tell you something tonight. God knows how to get a hold of you whether you answer the phone or not. And you'd be a lot better off answering the phone the first time instead of having God get you to answer the phone. So, get on track. Find out what God wants you to do and get busy doing it. And I know there's some people say, well, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Well, let me give you some. It's His will that you get saved. Amen. God's not willing that any should perish, that all come to repentance. It's God's will that you read the Bible and pray. Amen. It's His will. You know, I mean, don't say you don't know what His will is. I'm telling you, His will is that you read this book and pray. His will is that you come to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time the door is open, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. It's His will that you be a godly husband and a godly wife. I mean, that's His will. You don't have to question that. You don't have to look for it. That's His will. It's His will that you be a godly parent. It's His will that you be a witness for Him. The Sunday school lesson this morning about the woman at the well in Samaria reminds us that each of us as individuals can make a difference in this world that we live in simply by sharing our testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And if we'd have enough faith like that woman did that went back to town and said, come see a man that told me everything I did, many, the Bible says, many believed on Jesus because of her word, and then they came out to see Him. They asked Him to stay, and many more believed because they heard Jesus. One person can make a difference. We talk about revival, and we want a revival to start. Here's who it needs to start with. And I'm not just pointing at me. You point to yourself. This is where the revival needs to start. We need to get busy doing what God told us to do. So you want to stay on track? Get on track. Number two, pray. Amen. Pray. Pray. It's foolish to try to do God's worth without God's power. How do you get God's power? You ask Him for it. It's foolish to try to do God's work without God's wisdom. How do you get God's wisdom? You ask it. Ask Him for it. It's foolish to try to do God's work without God's strength. How do you get God's strength? You ask Him for it. When Solomon became king, the Lord came to him and said, Solomon, I'll give you anything you want. Just ask whatever you want. I'll grant your request. And Solomon went back to the Lord and said, you've chosen me to be king of your people. You've chosen me to lead your people. Now, and God said, you can ask for anything. You can ask for wealth. You can ask for fame. You can ask for a long life. And here's what Solomon said. You've chosen me to lead your people. I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. You're on track. You're engaged in God's work. God's work, listen, God's work is the most important work there is on this earth. Amen. It's more important than our jobs. It's more important than anything else we do. Because you see, God's work makes the difference between life and death. It makes the difference between eternal life and eternal death. It makes the difference between joy and sorrow in a person's life. It makes the difference between heaven and hell. It makes the difference between peace with God and being at war with God. It makes a difference. And we, to stay on track, need to learn what it is to get alone in our prayer closets with God and say, God, I'm doing your work. I can't do it without your wisdom. I can't do it without your strength. I can't do it without your power. Father, please give me what I need to do your work. We need to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Number three, we need to prepare. We need to prepare. Again, this is God's work. We don't need to go into it unprepared. If you're going to preach, you need to study. I've heard guys say, well, I'm going to wait till I get into the pulpit and see what God tells me to say. I don't like preachers like that. I've done my best. Every time I've stood behind this sacred desk to spend much time in prayer, saying, Lord, what do you want me to say? I'm your vessel. I don't want to say what I want to say. I want to say what you want said. And I want to say it in the way that you want it said. And I study. May not look like it, may not sound like it, but I study. If you're going to teach, study. Don't wait till Sunday morning to read your lesson. Study. Study. If you're gonna play an instrument, if you're gonna sing a song, practice. 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 If you're going to be a godly dad, a godly mom, a godly husband, a godly wife, study. God's given us a manual. He tells us what we need to do to be a godly husband, be a godly wife, to be a godly dad, to be a godly mother. We ought to get in this book. I mean, yeah, we ought to read it, and we ought to learn the history that God has put in here for us. But this is an instruction manual. I mean, now, Patty bought a new swing for up north for her cabin. The thing had 1,800 pieces. Now, you think I'm exaggerating, but I added up all the pieces of wood and all the nuts and the bolts and the screws, and there were 1,803 of them. Ted, my brother-in-law, we put it together. And he said, well, I don't think we need to read the instructions. I think we can do it without the instructions. I said, Ted, I don't think so. We read the instructions, and we still had to take it apart and do it over because we did it wrong. God's given us an instruction manual right here. Tells us how to do everything that he wants us to do right in this book. We need to get it. And we need to study it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If that's true for the little boys and girls we teach on Wednesday night in Awana, then it's true for every single one of us as well. We need to study God's word. Number four, get on track, pray, prepare. Number four, realize that God gives you exactly what you need to get the job done. God never asks us to do anything. He never gives us a job. He never gives us a work to do without giving us what we need to do it. He called Moses to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, he won't listen to me. Get somebody else. I don't talk plain. And God said, well, who made man's mouth? Who made man's mouth? I'll tell you what to say, and I'll tell you what to do. Just go ahead and do it. Gideon, God came to Gideon and said, hey, I want you to lead my people, and I want you to fight the Midianites. And Gideon said, I'm from the smallest tribe in Israel. I'm the run of the family. Surely there must be somebody better than me to lead the army. And God said, nope, you're the one that I've chosen to do it. I'll give you what you need, when you need it, to get the job done. Nehemiah, he wasn't a builder, yet he came back, did a big job for God as he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem because God gave him what he needed, exactly when he needed it, to get the job done. And he'll do the same for each of us. He'll never ask us to do anything that he doesn't give us what we need to do it. Number five, again, get on track, pray, prepare, realize that God will give you what you need to do it. Number five, give it all you got. Give it all you got. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Paul is saying, hey, if you people get in a race, you race to win. You race to receive the prize. So when you get in the race, run so that you can win the prize. And then a verse that we used in Bible school a couple weeks ago, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. We don't work for a mere man. We don't work for a man-made company. We work for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not a business that's about to go bankrupt. It's a company that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. We are not a citizen of a second-ranked nation. We are a citizen of heaven. And so we're in this race. run. We're in this fight. Fight. Whatever God calls us to do, let's give it our best. Let's do it with all our might. Let's do it with all our effort. Let's do it with all our energy. Let's give God our very best. That's how we stay on track. And then number six, overcome fears with faith. Overcome fears with faith. There's going to be times, even when God gives us what we need to get the job done, when we say, I don't know what to do next. I don't know that I can go on. I don't know that I can take the next step. And when those times come, as they will, Satan will make sure those times come. Satan will do everything he can to get us discouraged. Satan will do everything he can to get us off track. Those times will come. God lets those times come to test our faith. Because it's in those times that we need to lean on him. It's in those times that we need to exercise that faith that he gives us to get the job done. So we just need to keep trusting him. That sooner or later, he's going to make the next step clear. Sooner or later, he's going to make the next action clear. So just keep trusting. Overcome your fears with your faith. The Bible says that it's without faith, it's impossible to please him. My desire is that when I leave this world and I enter the gates of heaven, that I will hear Jesus say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." My desire for each of you, and I pray about this, I pray often about it, my desire for each of you is that when you walk through the gates of heaven, you will hear the same thing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your reward. How do we do that? How do we please God? We do it with faith. With faith. That he is. That he is God. And that he will reward those that diligently seek him. So, let's exercise our faith. Let's get on the track. Find out what he wants us to do. Let's pray. Ask for his power, strength, and wisdom. Let's prepare. Let's study. Let's practice. Let's, knowing that he'll give us what we need, and then when we set about to do it, let's do it the best that we can. Satan wants to mess with us. He wants to mess with us. Let's stay on track. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it. It's a deep, deep book. But Holy Spirit, sometimes you just make it so simple that we just love it. We read it, we can understand it, and we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt what you want us to do. And I pray tonight would be a night like that. I pray that if there's anybody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would come to Jesus right now. They would pray that prayer that you taught sinners to pray. Dear God, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. I'm trusting Jesus to save me from the penalty of my sin. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. We want to serve you. We want to please you. We want to do what you've called us to do. We realize it's your work. Can't do it without your strength. And so I pray, Father, you'd help us to do what we need to do to stay on the track that you've put us on, to run the race, to fight the battle, however we want to say it. I pray that you'd help us do what's necessary to please you. Bless the invitation. I pray if there's somebody here again that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they'll come and we can take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. There's a Christian here that needs to make a decision for you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide them in making that decision and they'd be obedient and be as you lead them and they'd do it. So bless this time. We give it all to you, ask you to use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.